the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17. 1 Kings, chapter number 17. This is a familiar passage of Scripture, and if I have preached out of it before, it was so long ago that I can't remember it. I've referred to it, I know, but I know you, if you're a Bible reader or you've been in church any length of time, you've probably heard this preached on or studied it in your Sunday school lessons. But we're going to read 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. Find your place. It's one of my favorite men to study about in the Bible is Elijah. But 1 Kings chapter number 17, we're going to begin reading in verse number 8 down through verse number 16. The Bible said in verse number 8, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." Let's pray. Lord, we just come today, and I want to thank you for letting us be here and for all the blessings you've given to us. Lord, I want to thank you for the true gospel that we learned about this morning, that we know about, and Lord, that we can say that we've known about all of our lives. Lord, I'm thankful for the gospel, and I'm thankful for being raised in a church and being around people all my life that believe the gospel. Lord, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts today from the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to have hearing ears and open hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would increase our faith. Your Word says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And Lord, we have many objects that have already been mentioned this morning. You know each and every one. I pray, God, you'd be with our people that are in need today. And Lord, we thank you for your blessings. I pray you'd speak to hearts, have your way. We thank you for all that you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's go back in our scripture this morning and read verses 10 and 11. We'll start there, verse 10 and verse number 11. We'll read these verses together again. And it said, "So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink.
And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And as I read the Bible, I love to try to imagine what it would have been like. You know, sort of imagine the scene in your mind that's going on in any passage of Scripture. But I've thought a lot of times, you know, wonder what Elijah really looked like and how he walked and how he talked and how he conducted himself. And I have a image in my mind of what I think Elijah would have looked like and how he would have acted. And I think about this city Zarephath, what it would have been like. And it was evidently a city that was large enough to have a gate around it or a fence around it, because she was, in verse number 10, she was out at the gate of the city, and I imagine she just sort of went out of town a little ways, and she's gathering what we would say some firewood, and that's where Elijah met the widow woman here. And I have imagined in my mind this woman and been thinking about her this week and what she was going through, and how that she had just gone to the cupboard in the house and looked in her provisions there and found that she had enough for one more meal. That's what the Bible says. That she had a handful of meal and a little oil, and she was gathering sticks, and she was going to go in and fix one last meal for her and her son. Can you imagine what was going through her mind at that time? As a mother, as a parent, what a heavy heart that you would have if you had come down to the situation in your life where you were absolutely, you had run out of everything and you had one more meal to fix. Can you imagine what would be going through your mind? Can you imagine the heaviness of her heart as she thought about her son? And, you know, if something doesn't happen, they're both in dire straits. What's going to happen to my son? What's going to happen to my family? And the heaviness of her heart and the concern for her situation as she's out there searching, trying to find two sticks, the Bible says, to come in and to make a meal for her and her son. And as she's out there searching for this firewood, she hears a voice. And she hears somebody, and it's Elijah. And he says, "See, Elijah, he's come to town now. He has been by the brook Cherith." If you're familiar with this passage of Scripture, God said it's time to leave the brook. It's dried up, and go to Zarephath. Best I can figure, it was a long journey. Elijah comes to town, and wouldn't you know, the first person he meets is that widow woman. And no doubt God said, "There she is." And so Elijah cries out, says, "Excuse me, would you fetch me a little water?" And she turns around to go, and he says, and by the way, bring me something to eat. When you come back with my water in a vessel, bring me a piece of bread in your hand." And boy, I can just see in her mind that she would probably think to herself, "Me? You're asking me to do this for you?" And I think she would probably think to herself, "Oh, if he only knew my situation, I'd be the last person he'd ask to do anything." I'd like to try to preach this morning just on the simple subject, who me? Who me? Have you ever felt like that as you read in the Word of God, or maybe God impresses on your heart to do something or to say something or to take a step by faith, and you know that's the Lord leading you? And have you ever thought, who me? If the Lord knew me, if the Lord knew my situation and who I was and what I've been up against, I'd be the last person he'd ever ask to do anything. You ever thought about that? Who me? I want to try to preach on that this morning, thinking about it from looking at it from the widow and what would go through her heart and her mind. First of all, today, I would like to point out, number one, there was an unknown command. Look in verse number 9, what the Bible said. It said that God had told Elijah, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." There's number one, an unknown command. Now, the Lord knew what he had commanded. He said, "I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." The Lord knew what was going on. And now Elijah knows what is going on. But when Elijah, in verse number 10, when he called to her, said, "Fetch me some water and bring me a morsel of bread in your hand," I don't believe she knew what the Lord knew. And I don't believe she knew what Elijah knew. If she knew that she was the one that was supposed to sustain Elijah, she sure didn't act like it, did she? She didn't act like she knew that the Lord had commanded her to take care of Elijah during this famine that was going on. She didn't act like it by any means. She didn't say, "Oh yeah, I've been looking for you. Come on up to the house. We've got a place prepared and I've got some soup on the stove. And you know, God told me you were going to come down here and that he was going to use me to sustain you during this crisis that the region is going through." She didn't act like that at all. She didn't know what the Lord had commanded. You know, we're living in days of an unknown command. What I mean by that, the Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." There's a lot of people, yeah, they go to church and they carry a Bible and they go to Sunday school, but they think the command to go into all the world is just for preachers. They think that's for an evangelist to take care of. They think that's for a missionary. That's what a missionary, that's what some people have the idea. Well, that's what we pay missionaries for. They are supposed to go into all the world. But the Bible says, "Go ye into all the world." You ought to go over there, Mark 16 and 15, and you ought to underline or circle that little word. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That is a personal command. It's not a suggestion. It's not something, if you'll do it, God will bless you. It is something that God has commanded in his word that each and every one of his children take a part of, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, when we're studying this passage of Scripture, I know this is in the Old Testament, but I want you to think in your mind about missions this morning. I want you to think in your mind about, what do we do at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church anyway? First thing it ought to come to your mind, what we do is missions. We ought to be in the business of doing all that we can to get the gospel out into all the world. That's what this is a beautiful picture of today. It is a picture or a lesson of God's people and God's men. Now, she's a picture of God's people. He's representative of God's man with God's message that has the word of the Lord working together for the preservation of the gospel. He had to be sustained for a time. And then later on, the propagation of the gospel, of God's work, working together to get the word of God out. Every saved person is to take part in the Lord's work. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says, "For we are laborers together with him." Did you know that? We're to be laborers together in the work of the Lord, with and alongside the Lord Jesus Christ, and all working together in this great command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So number one, there's an unknown command. At first she didn't know, but she's going to find out. Second of all, let me show you something. There's an unlikely candidate. Now in verse number 9, the Lord said to Elijah, he said, "Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." You ought to underline that in your Bible. I have commanded who? Who? Who, me? Who, her? Who's God going to use to take care of the man of God? Her? A widow woman of all the people that God could have chosen to take care of Elijah during this time of famine, she's the most unlikely of anybody. As I think about this situation personally, from a pastor's viewpoint, I just don't get it. There are all kinds of problems with this situation. Can you see that there's going to be some problems down the road? I mean, number one, she's a woman. And I'm not throwing off on women today by any means, but what I'm saying is, Elijah, single man. This widow woman, single woman. And here God tells Elijah to go down to the widow woman's house, and God told her to take care of him. Doesn't the Lord know people are going to talk about that? Doesn't the Lord know that it would have been better? I mean, why didn't God get a man to take care of Elijah? Maybe a man maybe he's single and, you know, this man, he can take care of Elijah and they can go fishing together. Why didn't God tell a husband and a wife to take care of Elijah? That'd have been better. Talking about from my standpoint, you know, maybe a husband and wife were down there in Zarephath. Surely God could find somebody that loved the Lord. Maybe they're retired. Maybe they've got a little income and they could take care of Elijah. They'd fix him a little room, let him come in, and there wouldn't be nothing wrong with that. Or maybe a young family could take care of Elijah. You know, the man, he works and he's got a steady income and you know, they've got children and Elijah can come in and stay with them and they can take care of his needs and he can be sort of like a grandpa and maybe help watch the kids or something. To me, that'd been a better situation. No, that's not what the Lord said. God said, go down there to Zarephath, and there's a widow woman, and I've commanded her to take care of you, Elijah. I don't know for sure what the reasoning is, but I'm going to tell you what I think it is. In her, in the widow woman, all of our excuses are taken away. Who, me? What about her? What about her? All of our excuses. See, God does not think like you and I think. We think there'd be surely there'd be a better situation than that. But the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you know, you remember over there where it's talking about God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound those things which are mighty. And so you and I, we would look at it another way, but God chose the weakest one to do the greatest work. The world doesn't understand that. When we look at things through our eyes of human understanding, we do not understand that, but that is exactly what God does. God chose her so we could never look at the Lord and say, who, me? Not me. I can't do that. Lord, surely you wouldn't ask me to do that. Lord, surely that somebody else could do that. But God commanded this widow woman to do and be involved in His work. There's an unlikely candidate. Oh, let me tell you this morning, if there's ever been an unlikely candidate to do anything for God, you're looking at him right here. And if you want to see another unlikely candidate, go back there and look in the mirror. But God chooses the weak things and the foolish things to do His work in this world. That's just how the Lord operates. That is so that down the road, He's the one that'll get all the glory. And not you or me today. There's an unlikely candidate. We're all in that group. Number three, let me show you this. There's an unsuspected circumstance. Now we're going to read verses 10 and 12, and you imagine this in your mind. God tells Elijah, go to Zarephath. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. He knows that there's a widow woman there going to sustain him. The Bible said going on in verse 10, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Look at verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not. You ought to underline them three words. As the Lord thy God liveth, she said, I have not. What was she saying? I have not a cake. Sir, I don't even have a piece of bread. That's what she was saying. I have not a cake. And then she tells him what she does have. She says, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. What do you think Elijah thought about that? He knows this is the woman that's supposed to sustain him. Now, if I am Elijah, at the end of verse number 9, where God said, arise thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, if I'm Elijah, buddy, I'm taking down the address. God said to move. Lord, what'd you say? www.zarephath. That is wealthy widow woman. Wouldn't you have thought that if you'd have been Elijah? The brook Cherith dried up. The ravens aren't going to bring his food anymore. But God said, I got a new address for you. There's a widow woman down there at Zarephath. God didn't say she was a wealthy widow woman. But if I was Elijah, I would have thought to myself, if she's going to sustain me, she's going to have to be able to. He's looking for a wealthy widow woman. He's looking for somebody that is going to be able to sustain him and meet his needs, and at least he would get along as good as he did by the brook Cherith. Oh, Elijah goes down there and he thinks, boy, I'm probably going to live in a pretty good house. I'm probably going to move up now in the world from where I was. He'd probably been at the brook about a year or so. The famine, God told Elijah, or by the word of Elijah, was going to last for 3 years. This has gone on for some time now. So if I'm Elijah, I'm thinking she's going to be able to take care of me. But now as we read down through the end of verse number 12, he might be thinking, I think I got the wrong address. If you ask for a drink of water and a piece of bread, and the person told you, I'm making my last meal, we're going to go in and eat together, and we're going to die. He might be rethinking if he heard the Lord right or not. He might be concerned. I mean, that just, Lord, is this really who I'm supposed to go to? That just doesn't seem right, does it? I mean, you and I, we would say, don't ask nothing from her. She doesn't have anything. It doesn't seem right to ask a poor widow woman with her last meal in her hand to provide and sustain for this man of God? Anybody you ask would say, that's not right. But if you look over in the New Testament and you read about the Apostle Paul and him going on his mission trips to preach the gospel all throughout the regions of Asia, do you know who Paul bragged on more than anybody else? It was the churches of Macedonia. And Paul said about the churches of Macedonia, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, I believe it is, he said that they gave out of their deep poverty. Is it right to ask poor people to support the gospel? It's not only right, it's just the way it is. Think about it today. Who is sending the gospel around the world? Who is supporting missionaries? Who is buying Bibles and gospel tracts by the millions and giving them away? Widows, pensioners, people on a fixed income, families, just regular people working together to get the gospel out into all the world because they know that's what God's called them to do. Do you know it's not the big corporations that God has called to go into all the world? Looks like God would tell Coca-Cola to do it. They're a big corporation. They're known around the world. They make billions of dollars. Looks like God would tell Goldman Sachs. These big banking corporations and institutions that where these CEOs make millions of dollars every year. Looks like God would go and tell them to do it. But you know, the greatest beneficiaries of the gospel has been the poor. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18, Jesus stood up in the temple. He read out of Isaiah chapter number 61. He was talking about his own ministry, and he said in that passage of scripture that he had come to preach the gospel to the poor. They're the greatest beneficiaries as a whole group. I'm not saying that rich people cannot be saved, but for the most part, it's just your common people that hear the gospel and get saved. They're the greatest beneficiaries and they're the greatest benefactors, meaning they're the greatest givers to get the gospel out. It's not the super rich. Donald Trump is not spending his millions to get the gospel out. He's building golf courses and building towers and things like that. It's just common folk, what the world would say the poor. Getting the gospel out. That's why God chose this little widow woman. Now, this little widow woman, she thought she was really poor, but she had all she needed. She just didn't realize it yet. If you look there in verse number 12, I believe it is. Look at verse number 12. She's not as poor as she thought she was. In verse number 12, the Bible said, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. She's going to tell him what ingredients she's got. She said, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. What did she have? She had a handful of meal in a barrel. You know, I always imagine, you know, you imagine a barrel in your mind. What do you think of? One of them old general store barrels. The old deep thing. Hey, if she hollered down in that thing, it'd echo back to her. It's about empty. I imagine she had to, you know, hike her dress up and reach way over in there. All she had was just a handful down in that barrel. Do you know what meal is a type of in the Bible? Meal is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter number 6, I am the bread of life. She didn't think she had much, but she had a handful of meal. And she said in verse number 12, she said, a little oil in a cruse. You know what oil in the Bible is a type of? It's a type of the Holy Spirit of God. She said, I don't have much. I just got a little meal. I got a type of Christ. I've got the oil in my house. That's the Holy Spirit of God. And I've always looked at this and thought, why was she gathering? The Bible says two sticks. You can't build a fire with two sticks, not enough to make a meal. I think as I imagine this, and she's outside the city, and no doubt she's looking for some what we call firewood. She wasn't looking for two sticks like kindling. She's out there looking for two sticks that she could put one under this arm and one under that arm and take to the house and probably saw it up or break it up and build her a fire so that she could prepare a meal. That's why she was outside the gate and she's looking for two sticks she could take to the house and make her last meal. But you know what else those two sticks make? A cross. Two sticks would make a cross. What she has there in the meal and the oil and the two sticks, she has gospel ingredients. She has everything that you need to get the gospel out. You've got Calvary. You've got the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got the oil. The Lord said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. This has got really nothing to do about money. That's not what I'm preaching on. I'm talking about who's got the gospel ingredients and what are we going to do with them? We've got to do something with what we've got. She had everything that she needed. She might have said, who, me? You're asking me? Yes, you. When we think to ourselves, who, me? Is the Lord talking to me? Yes, we've got the gospel ingredients. Where to go with the gospel? Where to send? Where to sustain? There's unsuspected circumstance. Boy, Elijah wasn't expecting that. But I want to show you something else. There's a unflinching confidence. Look, first of all, for Elijah. Now, at the end of verse number 12, when she said back to him that we may eat it and die, Elijah had a choice to make. Elijah could have heard about her terrible situation. He could have said, ma'am, I'm sorry to bother you. I didn't know things were so desperate for you and your son. Evidently, I've got the wrong person. And I'll just go on my way. Don't you worry about that water. Don't you worry about that piece of bread. Dear lady, you've got enough on your mind to worry about with your son. When she said, sir, we're going to make one last meal and we're going to eat it and die, he could have just went on down the road. But let me show you what Elijah, talking about unflinching confidence. The Bible said in verse number 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not. You ought to underline that. Because you know she's got a lot of fear. She's got a lot on her plate. She's in a terrible situation. But Elijah said, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first. Well, that's asking a lot. You know what the Bible says over in the New Testament about first? Says, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You say, boy, Elijah, man, that's a selfish old man. He's just giving her a Bible principle to live by. Don't be afraid. You go and do as you've said, but fix it for me first. And you bring what you've got to me first. And bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son. He didn't say, go make what you've got and we'll split it three ways. He said, go make everything you've got and bring it to me first. And then go back and do the same thing and make for you and your son. Well, how's that going to work out? Look at verse number 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Elijah said, lady, it may not make sense to you from a human standpoint, but I'm going to tell you what God said. God said, don't be afraid, just do what I've said, and everything's going to be all right. Everything will be all right. That took some faith. That took some faith for Elijah to go ahead and tell her, just go on and do what God said. Human understanding wouldn't do that. But Elijah, by faith, I'm telling you, the key to living the Christian life and doing something for God is not how much you've got in the barrel. It's how much are you and I going to believe God. That's the key to the whole thing. Faith. Faith. Elijah could have said, it's not her. There ain't no way God would ask her to give. He said, fear not. I'm just going to tell you what God said to do. And if you'll do it, it'll be just like God said it would be. Now, there's unflinching confidence for Elijah. But then there's an unflinching confidence for her. Now, at the end of verse number 14, when Elijah said, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. At the end of verse number 14, she could have looked at Elijah and she could have said, you're nuts. You're crazy. She could have said, where's God been up till now? She could have said, why am I starving to death now? She could have said, oh man, you're crazy. I'm going to go to the house and what I have, I'm going to take it and I'm going to provide the best. I'm going to keep it all for myself. And I'm sorry I can't help you, but you got to realize, and nobody in town would have faulted her for telling Elijah, sorry, I just can't. I've got to watch out for my son. This is all we've got. Did it not take confidence? She had to have some faith too. She didn't say, sorry, Elijah, I'm going to. And you know that's where we are in America today. Sorry, Lord, I've only got this much, and I don't think anybody would hold it against me if I took my life, my money, my time, and just spent it on me and my family. Nobody'd fault me for that. She wasn't going down and buying lottery tickets with what she had. She had a desperate need in her life. She didn't send Elijah down the road. Look what it said in verse number 15. Buddy, you talk about confidence. You talk about faith. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. That took faith. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. God rewards the life of faith. She just believed and she just took God at His word. She went and did what Elijah said. She had said in verse number 12, she had already told him what the situation was. She said, I have not. Man, you don't understand how bad it is. I have not. But when she seen that Elijah was from the Lord and what he said, she said, she changed her mind. Somewhere along in there, she got the faith to get the command that she was supposed to be the one to take care of him. And although she started out and she said, I have not, now we see her and she's got a different attitude. And she says, I have not, but what I have, here it is. Here it is. Now, missions is not about how much a church has or a person has. Missions is just about this. If God can get it through you, God will give it to you. Well, God hasn't saved us and called us to be His savings and loan. God has called us and given us a great commission that what He gives us, we would just not store it up, but we would pass it on to get the gospel out into all the world, that people might be saved by the grace of God. That is, we call it many different things. That is what I would call faith, promise, missions. God, if You'll give it to me, I'll pass it on. We'll do what we can to get the gospel out. It took unflinching confidence. It took faith for her to do that. Now let me show you one last thing and I'll be done. Number five this morning, one last thing. There is an unfailing commissary. Now, if you were in the military, you know what the commissary was. When I was in the Air Force, every week Kim went to the commissary. That's what we called it. We call it the grocery store. That's what a commissary is. Look at verse number 15. It said, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he, that's Elijah, and her house, that's her son, and I'd say that's anybody they wanted to have over too. She and he and her house, the Bible said, did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which He spake by Elijah. And that little widow lady went into the house and she got that last handful of meal. And she got the last drops of oil. And she put it in the pan and mixed it up and she made Elijah a little cake. And she got a vessel of water and took it out there to him and let him sit in the shade and eat and rest from his long journey. And then that little widow lady went back in the house and she reached in that barrel again. And what do you think was in there? Praise God. There's another handful of meal. And she went over to that cruse of oil and she poured it out in the pan. And what do you guess? It just poured right out. And she did it that day. And she did it the next morning. And she did it for lunch and for supper. And on and on and on. Buddy, that thrills me. And then the neighbors started showing up. And there's enough for them. And as many times as she needed it, and she went back to that empty barrel, there was exactly what they needed. Many days. That thrills my soul, I can't tell you. If you and I will choose to live the life of faith. Now, a lot of people, they don't want to live by faith. They want to have all they can and keep all they can and store up all they can. And buddy, they got it planned out for the next 40 or 50 years. The Bible said in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You ought to go over there and underline that. My God shall supply all your need. That was to the church at Philippi, which helped Paul get the gospel out. God said to the people in that church, you've helped me. You've took care of my business. Now I'm going to help take care of your business. Who, me? All your need. God will be concerned about my business. If you'll put God's business first, God will be intimately concerned with your business. And if you will choose to live by faith, and I know that's hard for us in America to even imagine living by faith. If you will live the life of faith and put the things of God in their proper order in your lives, you may never have a great big bank account. You may never have all the savings that you think you ought to have. You may not even know, like a lot of people, they say, you know, here's this year, retirement, got all that taken care of. You may never know. But if you live a life of faith, I promise you, you'll never go to the barrel and find that there's not something there. The life of faith is a pretty good life. What you find over the years is that God's word is true. And everything that God has said that He will do, He will do. He is and it does not matter what outward circumstances look like. It does not matter what makes sense from a human standpoint. I'm telling you, over the years, I've seen God come through so many times, it'd be a sin. It'd be a sin for me to doubt that God's going to take care of me tomorrow. I don't know if I've told this. I've told it somewhere, but I can't remember if I've told it here. But about a year ago, Kim had a little surgery. Over at the hospital, and everybody, you knew about it and everything, and had to be done, and she got through it fine and everything, and a few weeks later, you know what come to the house. You know how that is? There it is. The bill. You know, you're supposed to have insurance. She opened that thing up. It's like $8,000-some for us. Kim come to me. She said, what are we going to do? She said, we don't have that. What are we going to do? You ever been there in your life? What are you going to do? That's bigger than anything you got. That's out of reach. What are we going to do? I said, I don't know what we're going to do. And I went and began to pray about that. I said, Lord, I don't know how. I don't know what, but God, you got to help us. You got to help us. We've been trying to living by faith and doing. The Lord, you got to help us. Just turned it over to Him. A little while later, Kim got a call from her doctor, and she said, I'll make a long story short. Basically, her lab work never came back. Then she went to her doctor, and her doctor informed her, said, the hospital lost your lab work. They left it. They never sent it off. You know, they're supposed to test and see if anything is wrong. They left it sitting in the machine over there, and it's gone. It's ruined. Her doctor said, the hospital's not going to charge you a penny. And said, if you get a bill, you bring it to me. They done all that, but they're not going to charge you a penny. And you know how much that didn't cost a penny. Now, who would have thought that it would have worked out like that? See, we always think, we always got in our mind what God's going to do, but you just never know what the Lord's going to do. I said, praise God for somebody forgetting to do what they're supposed to do. And then the other day, she got another little refund from another doctor, and it's to have to deal with that, what she had already paid. They sent it back to her. The unfailing commissary. God does not fail His people. Of anybody in the world that is true to their word, God is true to His word. And she went back and she went back. I'm going to close with this verse of Scripture this morning. Maybe this will just help your faith today. I don't know. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6, the Bible said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I can testify this today. God's supplied a whole lot more than a handful at a time. He's poured it on at times. He's blessed in ways we've never thought of. He's been true to His word. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed today.